You know, every year, Jerry and I take a cross-country trip, and we take it in our 95 motorhome across country, and we pull into these amazing places across our country, and there's like other motorhomes alongside of us that are like million-dollar motorhomes, right? But we pull in, and we pull our rug out and our tiki torches, and we get our little awning out and our barbecue. If we're by water, we got our kayaks in the water and our fishing poles, and then we get the barbecue out, and we don't even want to be inside because it's just so beautiful out in God's creation. And these other people in these million-dollar rigs with like four gajillion expando things, it's like an apartment on wheels, right? They are right next to us, and they never get out of their motorhome, right? And they stay in there, they watch their flat-screen TVs, and they microwave their food. And I'm thinking, where did your sense of adventure go? You know, you got to look at things from a different perspective and get outside and enjoy God's creation. The other thing we notice is that across America, you will see scenes like this. Boarded up churches.
Mm.
Windows boarded up, doors locked. And I'm telling you, every time I see that, my heart just breaks.
Yeah.
And I ask God, I'm like, what happened? When did that church lose its vision? When did it stop asking, what's next? You know, as leaders, we believe it is our responsibility to keep God's church alive and well on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you what, in a culture that cares more about the houses we live in, the cars we drive, and the way we look, the church is in the battle of her life. Because it's not the things that we label as the big sins that are threatening the church. It's not the things that our political climate is telling us or forcing on us that is threatening the church. It's the apathy of committed Christians like you and like me who care more about our stuff than we do people finding Christ. We care more about ourselves and our stuff than lost people who need to find God.
Mm.
So, today, we want to talk to you about this new vision we have. Because the only thing that will light the church on fire is when all of us who call ourselves committed Christians fall head over heels in love with Jesus, mm-hmm, to the point where we love Jesus more than we love our stuff. And we're willing to do anything short of sin to reach lost people for him.
That's right.
And that's how apathy is cured in the church. So after 24 years as a church, we've been asking God the question, what's next? What's next? Because we don't want to end up like those churches. We don't want to end up boarded up. And if you don't ask that question on your journey, you will end up like that. Because we all have a tendency to slide into complacency. We've been asking God, are we numb to our own apathy? We've been asking, what do you want us to do for the next 24 years? And we've been asking the question, what's next? So with that said, welcome to the what's next of CRB.
Yeah.
Because this week,
yeah.
Yep. Woohoo! Hopefully you'll still be clapping at the end of this message. Right? With that said, you know, this weekend means exactly what it says. It's this time in the life of the church where we're just asking God, what's next? What do you want us to do with the next 24 years? We're at a crossroads, and we're saying, God, we need you to re-energize us, And we need you to help us look at the second chapter of this church and go after it with everything we've got. Mm-hmm. So that God's church can go on and on and on for generations to come, long after you and I are gone.
That's right.
So today, it's our joy and privilege to reveal to you the things that we believe God has been revealing to us over the last year. But more than that, we really want you on this journey with us.
Yeah.
You know, we can't do this without you. This is a dream that we believe God has given us, but we really believe God has given to his whole church.
Yeah, that's it.
Let me give you a little history of what's brought us here to this defining moment. 24 years ago, four very young dreamers asked God the question, "What's next?" And God answered by giving a vision to Harry and Candace and Jerry and I that he wanted to build a church in North County, San Diego. And he invited the four of us to go along with him. And of course, back then, we thought we knew a lot more than we think that we know now. But God used our very naive confidence in a profound way. And about 1.5 years into that journey, we did a telemarketing campaign. There were 60 of us. We made 30,000 phone calls. 3,000 people said, "Yes, I want to hear about this new church." And 350 people showed up at our first weekend service at Highlands Ranch Elementary School.
Boom.
Yeah.
That was it.
It was the scariest, most exhilarating time in the life of the church. I mean, we sat out on the curb wondering, is anybody going to show up? You know?
We still wonder that.
Yeah, I know. Our desire was to start a church for the unchurched, or people who had been burned by church, or people who would never go to church. Some of those people were our friends, and we wanted to attract them into God's house.
That's right.
A place where they could find Jesus, where Jesus would meet them in their day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
And since that day, we've been had a lot of defining moments, and we've been still asking from time to time, God, what's next? And God would always reveal to us, what's next? We said, what's next? And we had this thing called Sunday 2000. Sunday 2000 was when basically it was the year it turned 2000. And we actually had on New Year's Day a service at Mount Carmel High School. 2,000 people, 200 people accepted Jesus as their Savior that weekend.
That was
something. Awesome.
That was cool.
What's next? Raising the necessary capital to buy this facility. The company we worked with said you could only raise $1.7 million with the giving base that we had. We raised $5.7 million.
That was all of you.
What's next? Million meal packing event. How many of you worked the million meal packing event? Yeah, so cool. You know, family and friends, they have never packed that many meals since. I think they just knew how crazy we were. You know, it was just an amazing, amazing event to feed a million hungry people.
Yeah.
But over the last 5 years, we started to notice something that started to trouble our souls. First, attendance in the last 5 years has remained relatively flat within just a couple percentage points. Just relatively flat. So we're stagnant in attendance. Secondly, the church was aging with us. Y'all started to look just like us. You know, it's like a bunch of married people, you know? Except we weren't wearing matching shirts. We're never going to do that.
Not a pretty picture.
You know. But here's the scary part. We started to miss that 25 to 40 age demographic. And we noticed in the surveys that we were doing that 25 to 40 age group was really anemic in the church. But it wasn't anemic in our demographic outside the church. that demographic was actually growing in our community. And we started asking, why? Why? Now, it doesn't mean that we weren't doing amazing things in the life of the church. We saw people being transformed. We saw people coming to the church and beginning to serve and give in ways they never had before.
Yeah.
We saw people come and know to know Jesus for the very first time. But we also saw that we must have some back doors, some places where we were not meeting people's needs in a way that caused them to stay here. Or maybe they just decided, you know, I just really don't want to come anymore. And we wanted to know why. We just wanted to know why. So we started on this journey that a lot of other churches that were started back in the 90s by really energetic baby boomers. And we started the same process many of them were starting. And we started to say, what's next? God, what's next? How are we going to move into this next generation? How are we going to attract this next generation into your church? And that's when the what's next question started to get really uncomfortable. What's next? What if by asking that question, I discover my job is at stake? What if my comfortable house is at stake? What if people misunderstand me? What if by some of the decisions I make, people don't like me? What if by running after lost people so they can find Jesus, other people say, you know what? I'm just going to leave because I'm really just not that interested in that. I don't feel like the church is meeting my needs anymore. So I'm going to just leave. You know, I can remember a lot of our friends when we started this church, and they said, you guys are nutcases for starting a church. You got a good life, you know? You're in the music business. You got nice cars to drive. What are you doing starting a church? And I know there's a lot of people out there that you're saying, man, this is good enough. You know, the church is good enough. You guys are nuts for wanting to change anything. But you know the definition of insanity, really? It's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And we need some different results, so we can't keep doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Secondly, we came to the conclusion, like many of you have, I'm sure, in your own businesses, in your own personal lives, in your families, that if you're not moving forward, you're rolling backwards. And so, although numbers are not the only sign of growth, they really are a pretty good sign of a healthy organization. But more than that, we're just not satisfied when there are empty seats in this place and there are thousands of people outside these doors who do not know the love of a Savior. We're just not satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are more concerned about our own stuff and our own agenda than a community who needs to know Jesus, if we're more concerned about that as a church, then we might as well pack up our bags and go home. So after deciding as leaders, we either risk it all, or the church just ages with us and we keep doing the same thing over and over again, and she just dies with us. We told God we're taking the risk. We are all in, and we don't care how nuts people think we are.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
But that's when we knew we needed some new perspective, because you all know that sometimes you can look in the mirror and you think you look really good, and then you see a picture of yourself, and you go, ah, right? So we needed somebody to look at us from a whole new perspective and give us new eyes to see ourselves as an organization. And so we got together with a gal named Nancy Beach, and she worked at Willow Creek for over 20 years, teaching pastor there, and she now takes churches through a very deep spiritual experience to help define direction of where a church needs to move in the future. And out of that retreat, we believed, we heard loud and clear that God wanted to take us from a church of about 2,000 per weekend to a church of 5,000 per weekend. Yeah. And he wanted us to do that in 5 years.
Yep.
5,000 in 5 years.
We can do it.
We can do it. Yep. So with that goal that we believed was from God, Nancy said, well, now you need somebody that's really going to help you put a plan in place that will hold your feet to the fire.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes we set goals and then we don't achieve them, right? Because we don't have a good plan. And so Sean Morgan, who's a strategic operations specialist and an awesome Christian man, took us through another grueling three-day process where we unpacked everything. We got gut-level honest. This process has drug us through the mud and energized us all at the same time. It has been awesome. And so Sean helped us put this plan in place, and he gave us insight to things that were completely off our radar, and he pushed us out of our comfort zone. And the result of those meetings is what you're going to be hearing about today, particularly from Bill. He's going to give you some real details on how we're hoping and praying to reach that goal. So before Bill comes up, what I want to do is I want to paint a picture for you of really what this church just might look like. If you could dream with me for just a minute what this church might look like in 5 years with 5,000 people. As you walk up to our current building, there are hordes of kids coming out of the nearby Sun Road building,
yeah,
where we have somehow managed to lease a large space for student ministries. Junior and senior high students are running about 500 now, and the old student ministries room is home to over 100 senior citizens at our 11 o'clock service. Mm. The cool thing about that is the majority of the volunteers in there are high school students and young adults who have formed deep friendships with these seniors, and they are some of the grandparents they never had. When I look into the main service, there is not an empty seat, including the new service. Services have now moved to 8, 10, and 12 on the weekends. And Saturday is still at 5. There's now an amazing young adult ministry at 7 o'clock on Saturday night in the main auditorium. And it's running somewhere between 300 and 500 young adults. Children's ministry is overrun with kids. We're tripping over them in the halls. And there are now more dads working in CRB Kids than moms. It's funny, but as you look down the hall, dads are in superhero costumes, greeting kids in superhero voices. And there is a sign twirler outside the building, pointing kids into CRB Kids, and high school students are high-fiving kids, and kids are begging their parents to get them into church because they cannot wait to get there for the next adventure. And every volunteer knows that they have the future of God's church in their hands, and it's absolutely electric. We have become far more red, yellow, black, and white. We are no longer missing that 25 to 40 age demographic. We are bursting at the seams with young families, with young adults, and the boomer generation is so excited out of their socks about mentoring these young families in how to do career and parenting and life. And the mantra between generations throughout the church is, follow me as I follow Jesus. It's the kind of multi-generational, multicultural picture you would see in heaven. We have gone back to our roots in advertising, and we've budgeted over $150,000 a year, and it's worked. It's worked because people are coming to know Jesus as their Savior, and new people are streaming through the doors of the church. We are moving soon into a very large industrial space, either in Escondido, Penasquitos, Poway, and we have the resources to pull it off because our giving base has increased to about $10 million a year. Can I get an amen, Bill? Okay. It's crazy, crazy exciting around here because we are seeing over 500 people a year come to know Jesus as their Savior for the very first time. This has happened by going after the seeker again with all that we have, but still not losing the emphasis that we have placed on deeper spiritual growth. This will be a tenuous balance to do community and discipleship. But our community and discipleship now is done in a way it's no longer a cookie cutter of other churches. We have found something brand new that is helping people grow deep in their relationship with Jesus. And the best thing is that people are really growing up and they're learning how to love without judging. They're learning how to love with their whole heart, and they're learning to love unconditionally. The power of the Holy Spirit is palpable in the church, and we are about to explode into a new facility and the continuing dream God has for the church at Rancho Bernardo.
Amen. Amen. Going over there. Thank you, Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good morning. It is our privilege to be up here today to share what's next for CRB. I have to say, my wife Debbie and I have been attending here for nearly 18 years. I've been on staff for 10, and there's never been a time that I've been more excited to be part of this ministry than right now. And it's our desire that when we finish this morning, you're going to catch that same spirit. Now, what I'm here to do today is to provide some details. Details about where we are, details around some challenges we're facing, and also some details about this vision to provide a little bit more clarity about what's next. So, let's get at it. Let's start off by looking at some of the challenges we're facing and why change is necessary. First, which Jeanette referenced, are some issues around attendance and finances. About 8 months ago, weekend attendance was hitting consistently right around 2,000 per weekend. Since that time, though, we have experienced about a 5% decrease, and giving has followed on a similar trend. Though despite an unprecedented level of generosity in December, we find ourselves 100,000 behind our budget 5 months into the fiscal year, a place that we have not been in over 8 years. You could say that we're like a roller coaster going up. We've been inching up for about 5 years, and the first cars are now starting to go over the top. Now, I'm not insinuating that we are spiraling downward to our demise. We are not. We are blessed with a very strong balance sheet. We're not in a crisis. But we are at a stage that if we don't make a change, we will face a crisis. Our current path is not sustainable. And in trying to assess our situation, we invited two outside experts in to take a look at our church finances and also to look at our giving base. Both studies came up with virtually the same findings. First, and this might surprise you, our church budget is two-thirds the average for a ministry with attendance our size. Think about that. For attendance level of our size, our budget is actually two-thirds the average. We have a very lean operation, and we're doing that in a high cost of living area. One area that we are not lean is missions and outreach.
you're not aware, 10% of every dollar you give goes to ministries outside the walls of this church. Now, that's our commitment, is a minimum of 10%. In actuality, year in, year out, it's closer to 15 or 16%. National average, 6. We're 10% higher in that area, yet our overall budget is still only two-thirds the average. But I'm going to be clear about one thing. We are not reducing our commitment to ministry outside the walls. That is the heart of this church. Studies also show that those of you who attend here are concentrated in a 6-mile radius around CRB, with CRB as the hub, a 6-mile radius. That area is one of the most affluent communities you're going to find anywhere in the country. Studies also showed that the generosity factor. Now, the generosity factor is the percentage that we give as a church in relation to our average incomes for the area. Compared against over 4,000 churches, when you look at our level of giving on average based on the incomes, we come in about half the average of other churches. Half the average. If we just became average in our level of giving, our budget would double to $6.6 million from $3.3 million. This is something we got to get at. And I'm reminded, as Jeanette referenced, that period, that exciting period, about 12 years ago when we raised $5.7 million. There was a mantra, there was a vision, and it was, and we lived it out. And it was equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. This church will not be everything it can until every single person who calls it home is committed financially to this ministry. And it looks differently for each person. It's equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. Now, one of the benefits of being in my position is I get to see a lot of sacrificial and extremely generous giving. And I'm reminded of two instances that really bring this out. The first is about 6 or 7 years ago. There was a widow who was taking a financial class I was facilitating, and she asked, "Would you take a look at my finances and see if you have any suggestions?" I sat down with her. Her total income, including Social Security, was $950 a month. Now, that's a challenge to live in San Diego on $950 a month, but she was. But every month, there was a check for $100 that went to CRB. And I said, "That's impressive, $100 a month on your income." And she says, "I wouldn't miss that." She goes, "That's the statement I make to God and myself about who's in charge of my life, about where my foundation lies." And I thought, wow, she gets it. The other example is a family here who has an income that is multiples of hers. And they have been generous contributors for many years to this church. And on one occasion, when they made a rather large gift, I walked up to them and I said, "Thank you for your contribution. Thank you for what you've done for this church." What ensued was about a 30-minute lecture. "Don't thank me. How can you thank me? That money's not mine. It's God's. Everything I have comes from Him. I'm strictly His steward." He went on to tell me, he goes, "God's been very generous to me. And don't thank me for giving away what wasn't mine. It was His, and I'm blessed to be His steward." And I thought, wow, he gets it too. So ever since then, whenever a large gift comes, I tell him, "I acknowledge your gift, but I do not thank you." Besides financial, there's another major challenge, and that's our facility. God has blessed us with a beautiful home to worship Him, but is proving to be an anchor that's holding back our ship. And while we're bumping against some capacity issues here in the auditorium at 11 o'clock, that's not the area of greatest concern. It's outside the walls here of the auditorium. It's where our children, our youth, our seniors, the Cove, and other ministries meet. Or should I say where they try to meet. Now, I totaled up our square footage. And to do that, I included this building. I added in the garage, threw in the Cove, and even those two repainted rental U-Haul trucks that we've got back there. Now, you put that all together, and we've got right around 40,000 square feet. Might sound like a lot, but when you look at an average facility size for a ministry with attendance like ours across the country, the average came in at about 105,000. So we're doing ministry here with a building that's less than half the size of other churches with our attendance. Now, one thing I want to make clear, this is not the launch of a large-scale capital campaign. There are things that we can do. Now, we've looked at several options. We looked at expanding the building both out and up. It's not cost-effective. But there are things that we can do. And thanks in part to the generosity of many of you in December, we have the funds available that we have initiated the initial steps in increasing the capacity for our youth ministry. And that's something you're going to hear a lot more about in April. There's still a lot more things that we can do to better utilize the space that we have, but it's going to require a financial commitment. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. The third area of both a concern and opportunity is the composition of our church family. As part of our assessment, we first looked at several studies regarding the demographics of our community, that six-mile radius around us. And while some might define this as a retirement community, it is that, and it's a whole lot more. What we discovered is, first, we are becoming a much more culturally diverse community at a faster rate than the rest of San Diego, the rest of California, and the country as a whole, most notably with a large increase in Asian American families. Secondly, our area is comprised of an unusually large percentage of college grads. And what really also surprised us, which Jeanette referenced, is a large increase in those people ages 20, 30, and early 40s. What it also showed is that we have a higher concentration in this area of traditional family units than any other area, quite frankly, in California and even the country as a whole. And when we look at the surveys that we've periodically done of our church at various points in time, we have clear evidence, as Jeanette referenced, that we are aging faster than the community around us. We are not keeping pace with ethnic diversity, and we're not keeping pace with attracting those in their 20s and 30s. And if we cannot find a way to reach young singles and young marrieds, we will cease to be the relevant force that we are in this community. So, all right, are you with me? You following? Okay, so those are some of the challenges we're facing. So now let's take a look at what's next, the vision. Let's take a look at the roadmap that we've laid out for what's next. And we actually have 11 distinct initiatives or strategies in place. But due to time and maybe my inability to keep you interested, we're going to give you the abbreviated version. A few thoughts before I begin. You may be passionate about an area such as seniors, Impact, The Cove, life groups, and you may not hear it mentioned. That doesn't mean it's not important going forward. Not at all. That's the heart of CRB. What we're going to focus on are those areas that need immediate attention and redirection. Secondly, everything we do as a church will pass through a filter that makes sure we are addressing the needs of families, those in their 20s and 30s, has a multicultural appeal, and continues to be a place where everyone who calls CRB home can grow, serve, and invite our friends. Now, as I mentioned, my wife Debbie and I are coming up on 20 years at this church. It's our desire that this will be our church home for 20 or 30 years more, no matter what God has in store. And I look over here and I see my two nieces, two treasures in my life, ages 18 and 19, soon to be 20. I had the privilege of baptizing them both. It's my desire that in 20 years, and there's no hurry on this, girls, that in 20 years their kids are going to get baptized here. And maybe you've got children and you want this to be their home in 20 or 25 years. Now is the time that we need to step up if that is going to be a reality. And I cannot overemphasize that point. It's our desire that this will continue to be a home where everyone here, single or married, no matter what their age, can be fulfilled and can find a place to live it out for what it means to follow Jesus. So now, on to what's next. In your bulletin, you're going to find 5 goals, if you'd open it up and follow along, that we've established that help define our future direction. I'll try to provide a high-level view of some of the more prominent ones. And the first one, a big one, which Jeanette mentioned, is 5,000 members in 5 years. A lofty goal, but it's achievable. But we're going to have to do a number of things. First, in the area of advertising, technology, and social media. Many of you may have found yourself here as the result of receiving a postcard somewhere in the past, something that we used to do very consistently, but due to budget constraints, we've had to eliminate it for many years. We only are doing it recently because of the generosity of one couple in the church who stepped up. We have strong evidence that it's a good investment. We need to implement, though, a comprehensive strategy that also uses technology and social media. We need to update the manner in which we communicate with you and prospective attendees, which will also involve upgrading our website. Next, first impressions. From many perspectives, we are assessing how we look to first and second time attendees, as well as how we assist them in finding meaningful connections within the church. In some respects, this needs to develop into a ministry all its own, and as we grow larger, it will become exponentially more challenging. Next, under the 5,000 in 5 years, facility utilization. We have assessed a number of options over the past 6 months, and at this point, it does not, again, appear to be cost-effective that we can add to this building. But there are things that we can do, and things that we to make it more effective and to increase our level of utilization. As I mentioned, a lot of it has to deal around youth. We've done some. We've got more that we can do, but we need additional funding to bring that around. Next up, major goal, reach 25 to 40-year-olds. Now, we have a number of strategies and initiatives directed at seeing how we can be more appealing to people in their 25 to 40 age range. But the one that's front and center is looking at weekend service changes. One of the key first impressions any new attendee has is our weekend services. And we're going to take a fresh look at everything from message content to teaching pastors. Now, I feel a little awkward saying we're going to look at our teaching pastors with these two behind me, but it's safe. So looking at arts and music. While we are in no way trying to turn our weekends into a youth and college-age service, we are trying to stay relevant and reach more young and culturally diverse families with the love of Jesus. We feel we can do this without completely changing our weekend services, but right now, everything is on the table. Next up on the list of priorities, increase committed givers. As previously mentioned, this is a priority area for us, and we've engaged a proven outside expert who's helping us look at all aspects of this, not only about how and when we teach, but programs that we should be offering for children, youth, and adults, and also in the manner in which the options to give. Success here is essential. It's more than a financial issue. It's a heart issue. Next up, re-energize children's ministry. You heard a little bit of this from Jeanette. The CRB Kids program is currently a safe and Jesus-loving environment. However, we feel it can be so much more. Our dream is to produce an environment that also possesses a wow factor and an energy that compels children to beg their parents to come to church. Our missing 25 to 40 demographic demands a cutting-edge ministry for their children. We share that passion. We're also looking to engage an outside expert to help us navigate this area. Young adult services. Jeanette referenced, we are launching a fourth weekend service this summer on Saturday nights at 7 o'clock. This service will be geared to and focused on our young adults. We feel in order to be a healthy church and accomplish the vision, we must be a hub, even be a magnet for young adults. We're very encouraged by a large number who have made a commitment to getting this ministry off the ground. Now, that is a very high-level look at some of the goals and strategies that we are in some stages of implementing. And we're going to be available after the service to answer questions. You can email us. You can make appointments. We want to make sure you got a clear picture of this. We're going to be putting a lot of info on the website. So I encourage you to go there to get more details. But there's two major mistakes right now that I want to caution everyone here about. The first would be to think that it would be safe or prudent to keep things the way they are. If you're thinking that way, I want to remind you that the current path we are on is not sustainable. The second would be to think that what we're embarking upon is going to be easy, or that it doesn't involve a commitment from both you and me. Because if CRB is your home, it's essential that each and every one of us in some way steps up to make the vision a reality. On that note, this past week, this church lost a real treasure when Herman Izor went home to be with Jesus. And I don't know how many of you knew Herman, but he served with Patton in World War II in the Northern Africa and Italy. He was married to his beloved wife, Marilyn, for over 65 years. And my wife, Debbie, and I were very fortunate to know them. And as I was telling Debbie a couple days ago, we were out taking a walk, that Herman had passed, she talked about how fortunate we were to know them. And she said, you know, something that Herman told me I will never forget. And I go, what was that? And she told me this for the first time. She said, after Marilyn had passed, I asked him, I said, Herman, how can I pray for you? And he paused and he said, pray that God continues to remind me that I still have work to do. Pray that God reminds me that I still have work to do. Folks, I agree with Herman, and I hope you do too, that we all have work to do. And now it's time to get at it. You might be sitting there asking, well, how does this affect me? What are you asking me to do? All right, let's hit it hard. Again, referring back to your bulletins. We just had Lent just started a few days ago. We've got just less than 40 days until Easter. What we're asking is this: your support in going above and beyond your giving levels over the course of the next 40, or actually about 37 days up through Easter, to contribute an additional $250,000 above and beyond. That's $100,000 to cover our deficit. It's $150,000 to pay for the initial programs. But I want to remind you as we go into this, this is equal sacrifice, not equal gifts. And you can do this a number of ways. You can add an additional amount to what you're giving each and every week between now and Easter, or you can make a one-time gift. And to challenge your thinking, if you go to your bulletin, you can find some answers, or you can find some suggestions of things that you might want to consider. And again, it's going to look very different for each and every person here. The amount of your contribution should be commensurate with your particular financial situation. And it could mean changing a challenging habit. It could also mean selling something. And depending on your situation, it could be selling anything from a camera to a car that's sitting in your garage. It could be donating an appreciated stock, which is something very easy to do. And if you have any question about how to do that, you can email or call me. It's really easy. And let you know how serious we are about this. The Board of Elders, Board of Directors, and the management team here have pledged to go above and beyond our tithes for the next 35, 36 days by the total of $24,000. All right, so that's 14 families. Represents about 1% of all the families in the church. And we're going to go above and beyond our tithe by $24,000. And we're challenging each one of you. And again, it's going to be different. And I encourage you to open up your hearts and minds in prayer to what God is calling you to do. Be generous. Be extravagant. God is. Let's blow this $250,000 out of the water. That's the minimum amount we need. But let's just blow it out of the water and step into the next season of CRB and not have to look back. So again, I encourage you to go in prayer and see what God is calling you to do. You might be surprised. You might find yourself doing something that you would have never thought. But look at your heart. Who is Jesus? What does this church mean? And how is important? How important is it to you that this is a vital ministry reaching lost people for years to come? Folks, we got some work to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah.
I wanted to just add a couple of things to what Bill said. Some people asked us, you know, do I get an extra envelope? Do I get a pledge envelope? You're not going to get a pledge envelope. This is just over and above your regular giving. So, like, for instance, Jerry and I, we give online. So what we're going to do is just increase our giving over the next 6 weeks as we give online. So really, there's no extra envelope or anything like that. We just need to go $250,000 above our regular giving. And one more thing. I just feel like the Lord wants me to say this. You know, a lot of us, and I know we do this right now, we are saving like crazy for retirement because we got started very late in saving for retirement. And sometimes people will say, you know, I'm just not liquid. I just don't have liquid finances around because I am just packing it all away. Let me tell you what, pack some of it away in God's kingdom. I mean, the return right now is not great in our country. The return you're going to get for investing in God's kingdom is phenomenal. So I just want to encourage you, if that's your case, just go home, pray, and think about what God wants you to possibly even liquidate.
Good word, Jeanette. Good word. Well, we got one more lap around this track. Give me 10 minutes, okay? Listen, would you all stand for just a moment? I'd like everybody to turn to your left. Put your hands on the shoulders in front of you. Squeeze. Release. Squeeze. Harder. Release. All right. Now, everybody turn completely to your right. You can get even. Hands on shoulders. Squeeze. Release. Squeeze. Release. All right. Everyone can have a seat. No pain, no gain, right? When God called Candace and I to our first church, it was a little church. It was in a little Indiana town. And one day a deacon said, Harry, let's go fishing. So I went to Walmart and I bought a little fishing pole. And we drove out to a little creek called Sippo Creek. And I caught some little bluegills and later cooked a little fish dinner. It was nice. Sometime later, God called us to a church in San Diego, California. Thank you, Jesus. One day a deacon said, Harry, let's go fishing. So I showed up with my little fishing pole and he laughed at me. He said, you're going to need something way bigger than that. And so he handed me a fishing pole that looked like a branch from an oak tree. The reel was bigger than a coffee can. And he said, we're going deep sea fishing. And so the next morning, we step into not a little rowboat, we stepped onto a ship. And we headed out onto the deep blue Pacific Ocean. And as the shoreline disappeared from my view, I remember thinking, we're not on Sippo Creek anymore, Toto. And we motored all through the night. The next morning, my friend hands me a sardine. I mean, the bait was bigger than the fish in Sippo Creek. So he hands me the sardine. He says, you put it on your hook and you cast it out. And so I did. Boom. Felt like Moby Dick hit that line. Hook up, everybody yells. And this reel starts screaming. And the faster I reeled that line in, the faster that line went out. My heart was racing. My pulse was pounding. My muscles were aching. And 15 minutes later, I pulled in a 37-pound yellowtail. It hit the deck with a thud, and while everyone's slapping me on the back, wide-eyed and breathless, I looked at my friend, and I said, man, I ain't never going back to Sippo Creek. And I believe that's exactly what God is saying to all of us today. It was to a very frustrated Simon Peter. It is to a very frustrated CRB that Jesus said, in Luke chapter 5, verse 4, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Jesus is saying, you ain't never going back to Sippo Creek. God is going to bless us big time.
when you launch out into the deep. You're going where the fish are. When you step away from that shoreline of comfort, you're stepping into God's big dream. And you notice the word here is, it's nets. Let down your nets. It's not singular. It's plural. Jesus is saying, get ready for the biggest catch ever. Why? Because Jesus gave his life to catch people. Jesus gave his life to teach you and I how to be fishers of men and fishers of women. You see, God wants more. And he wants us to want more. Numbers matter to God. How else did the shepherd know he only had 99 sheep and one was missing? Because he counted. And I still bump up against pastors who are trying to justify small numbers in their church by saying, well, we only got 37 people, but they're the quality ones. You know, that's like you taking your wife and your four kids and going camping in Yosemite, and one night you're sitting around a campfire, you only see three kids. One of them's missing. Do you look at your wife and say, don't worry, sweetheart, we got the quality ones? No. Well, some of you might. But Jesus went out in search of the one who was missing. Because Jesus wants quality and he wants quantity. God wants more. That's why several weeks ago when I heard that 20 high school students who maybe for the first time ever felt safe enough in a youth service courageously stood up and said, you know, sometimes I feel so bad, I wonder if life is worth living. When I heard that, I said, that's great, but I want more. When I saw 57 people follow Jesus in baptism a while back, I said, that's awesome, but I want more. When I heard that more and more addicts, like Philip Seymour Hoffman, are coming to our recovery program, stepping in and saying, hi, my name's Bob, I'm an addict, can you help me? I'm like, man, I'm glad you're here, but listen, you go and bring back all your friends. When I saw hundreds and hundreds of people saying yes to Jesus on Christmas Eve, I was like, dude, that's terrific. But I want more, don't you? I want more husbands inviting wives, more wives inviting husbands, more parents bringing children, more children bringing parents, and more singles bringing singles. Listen, I want more homeless helped and more poor fed, and I want more kids busted out of human trafficking, don't you? Yeah. I want more of the lonely and more of the lost, more of the confused, more of the hurting. Because first, God sent his one and only Son to that cross. Jesus died on that cross so that not one would perish. And the second reason is because the Bible says when the net's full, when it's busting at the seams, when it's breaking, when it's ripping, when it's tearing, when we got more people here than we know what to do with, then the Bible says we experience verse 9. And verse 9 says the disciples were awestruck by the number they caught. When's the last time you were awestruck? I was awestruck the first time I looked across the crowded room and saw my future bride. Like a tractor beam of love. Well, at least it was for me. It was for me. I was awestruck when my first daughter was born. I was awestruck the first time I realized what Jesus did for me. I was awestruck the first time I introduced someone to Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I don't want awestruck once in a while. I want it every day. I want it all day. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And then he looked at Peter and said, why not you? Someone's got to build my church. Why not you? And today I say, why not us? Why not here? Why not now? Amen. Friends, this is our time. This is our time. God's going to break out in power, in love, in grace. Lives are going to be transformed. A community is going to be changed. And God is calling us to step up and embrace a new level of impact, a new level of ministry. He's inviting us to step into the big dance. And I say, why not us? Our vision has never been clearer. Our commitment has never been stronger. Our dedication is unwavering. Our passion is high. Our gifting is huge. Our hearts are humble. You're all amazing. And Jesus is our leader.
Amen.
And he's the ultimate fisherman. And that's why today we are inviting you to join us, to be all in, to be part of something that's bigger than you. Hitch your wagon to this rising star. Because friends, Amen. We need you.
Yep.
We need to be all in together. We need you if we're going to launch out into the deep and put down our nets for a catch. So to symbolize this vision and this passion, the ushers are going to give you a piece of the net this morning. Keep that in your Bible. It's going to be a piece of the net. Because all together, we're like one huge net. And so when you take that net, just whisper to yourself, why not us? Why not here? Why not now?
Amen.
2,000 years ago, Jesus stood in a synagogue, a lot like this. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news, to open the eyes of the blind, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set the captive free, and to declare that this is the year of the Lord's favor.
Amen.
And today I say, why not us? Why not here? Why not now? Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Church, complacency and apathy is a killer. It's a killer of what God wants to do on the planet. You know, ladies, one of the things, the worst thing that ever happened to many of us is when stretchy pants came out, right? Stretchy pants came out, and then now you wear those stretchy pants, and you can't tell if you gained or lost weight or anything, right? And all of a sudden, you put your jeans on, and you go, ah! Oh, no. Guys, we wear these belts. You know, and we think we have a 29-inch waist, but the only problem is the belt is down by your knees now, right? I mean, we can get so complacent as people. And God is saying to us today, don't get complacent. Don't have apathy. Don't kid yourselves. This is going to take work. This is going to take buy-in. This is going to take all in. And we need you. You don't have to worry that you don't have what it takes. We don't have what it takes, you know? God has what it takes. God has what it takes. All right? Okay, so the website. We've got a great web on our... Ian, you want to put it up there? So we have our own website, the church own website. And then if you push on the button of the What's Next page, you will see... you will see all kinds of great things coming up, and it's going to be updated for you on a regular basis. Anything that you maybe forgot this morning, you can go on the church website, and you can see it. Just tap on What's Next, okay? Second thing, we're going to have a short Q&A up here afterwards. And everybody that has a question, come up, sit right here. If you don't have a question, you can go on out into the atrium and just get to know some people. You got your name tags on today. I challenge you to just kind of get to know some new people. But if you do have a question, come right up here, okay? Quickly, because we're only going to do this for about 10 minutes, and then we got to get back and get ready for the next service. So if you have a question, just come right up here afterwards. Would you stand, please? Did I forget anything? Okay.
I would say this. If you have any questions and that come up to you afterwards, again, clarity is so important. Email us, call us. We'll be more than happy to meet with you.
Amen. Harry, you want to pray us out?
Oh, I was going to put a piece of gum in my mouth. Okay.
You can't chew gum and pray.
Jesus is a priority. All right. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can be part of your heart for people. It's amazing how much you love people. So, Lord, we want to be a part of your heart, and we want to be a part of what you're doing. You're doing the most important work on the planet, rescuing people, strengthening marriages, rebuilding homes, rebuilding hearts, bringing hope into hopeless hearts, and bringing healing into broken bodies, and bringing help to everybody. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us to do that business in our hearts with what you're calling us to do so that we can be all in for you. We ask this all in Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. God bless us all in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Watch out.